listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Are you looking for inspiration?
Would you like to develop or renew a relationship with God?
Let us show you how.
Tune in to the Focus on Jesus broadcast on Mondays and Fridays at 1 p.m. right here on WCNO, the good news station.
Remember to focus on Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Port St. Lucie First Church of the Nazarene is a church on the move. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer at 7 p.m. The church is located at 121 Southwest Kester Drive in Port St. Lucie, just off of Darwin Boulevard. For more information, call 336-3908. Let us be your church home on your way to your heavenly home. That number again, 336-3908.
Break up the fallow ground. God has put his hand on something in your life. And he's told you about it on more than one occasion. And you continue to make excuses. You continue to postpone your breakthrough. You want a breakthrough? Break up the fallow ground.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. At today's program, we're going to continue a series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children, so please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will discuss how we are to break up the fallow ground of our hearts. We are going to pick up with the pastor's discussion regarding the purpose of difficulties and trials in a believer's life. Now here's Pastor Bernard with a continuation of sound counsel to a sinful nation.
God has a higher purpose. God wants you to look like his son. God wants to walk you in victory. God wants to bless you with strength and peace. But right now, he says, I got some discipline. I have some things I got to do with the nation of Israel right now. In verse 11, when you see terms or a title like Ephraim, Judah, well, he's talking about Israel, the northern kingdom with Ephraim, and he's talking about Judah and Jacob. We're all talking about Israel. And I want you to see something very interesting in verse 11 as we continue our example or the metaphor or the picture we have on the animal on a farm. Well, heifer in the KJV is another word for cow or oxen, okay, that plows. But what we see in verse 11 is that there's going to be an exchange. There's a replacement that's going to take place. A replacement of what, Pastor? Well, a yoke will change. The yoking of the animal, well, it was an easy yoke. It was a more pleasant yoke. But now I'm getting ready to turn that yoke into something a little bit more severe, a little bit more exhausting. Ephraim is a heifer that is taught. That means been trained to plow, and love to tread out the corn. But I pass over her upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his claws. In other words, Ephraim, again, the northern kingdom, Israel, says he's like a trained cow that loved to thresh and march and thresh out the corn and thresh out the wheat. But the nice thing with God's yoke initially is that the cow is able to enjoy. It was a less of a task than really plowing, so the cow's able to, as it's treading, is able to enjoy his work with the corn. He's muzzled. He's not muzzled at all. He's not muzzled. He has freedom. He has freedom to thresh out. But Israel got tired of that easy blessing and that task. I don't like the yoke of blessing. I don't like the yoke of pleasure in my life. So I want something different. That's where you see the expression in the KJV in verse 11 about a different yoke, that fair neck. Israel's neck will be forced now to engage in extreme and exhausting work because of her rebellion. Let me ask you something. God gives you specific things to do according to his word. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what? And when you try things the world's way, when you try to do things your way, your burden won't be easy. And you'll be yoked into something that's not really light. Israel was going to get into, God says, your pleasant yoke will be replaced with a punishing yoke. That's what verse 11 is all about. Now we move to verse 12. Everybody say fallow ground. The counselor says, God gave you, he evaluated your sin. He told you the conditions of your sin and the consequences of your sin. Now the counselor is going to call you to repentance. The counselor is calling Israel to repent and to change. You want change in your life. There are some things that got to take place. I got to, again, focus on your heart. See, you're too much. Sometimes we focus on the surface with counseling. We only stay on the surface, on the periphery. You got to get deep down at the what they would call the salient issue. What's the salient issue? Well, it's not because your mom did this to you and your dad did this and you got a history of this and a history of that. No, the deep issue is your human heart. The idol that's in your heart. The issue is the heart. Let's look at it. It's hard. Oh, it's very hard. Been hardened by life, hardened by disappointment, hardened by hypocrisy. What are the things that put people in a position where they have a hard heart, especially toward God? A loss, and even losing resources, the things that goes on in this world, depression and frustration, disquieting emotions. Let's look at this fallow ground. Verse 12. Sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Notice God did not say, break up my, I have no fallow ground. He didn't say, your husband's fallow ground, your wife's fallow ground, your children's fallow ground, or the boss's or your employer's fallow ground. He said, yours. Break up your fallow ground. Enough of this. Aren't you tired yet? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Stop procrastinating. Stop saying, I get to it when I feel like it. Even in the body of Christ, even as I'm speaking right now, there's fallow hearts. Fallow ground, heart, heart like this tile floor. If I was a farmer and I want to spread out seed so the seed can land on this tile floor, that would be a futile exercise because the seeds would not plant in this tile. He said, Pastor, that's really easy. It's just going to lay right on top. The seed's just going to stay on top. Hold on to the picture here. There are people been going to church how long? Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, mission trip after mission trip, over and over, every Christmas, every Resurrection Day celebration, you come to church Sunday after Sunday, and the wife says, he's not changing, and the husband says, she's not changing, and the parents say, children are not changing. Oh, break up the fallow ground. You're not going to change. And as a boy growing up in Georgia, we used to have a little garden. Now, garden is about perspective now. It may have been, I would say, at the most in our backyard, 50 yards, 60 yards or so, but some people got, Pastor, that's no garden, that's a little stamp. Because this guy has acres and acres. But get the picture. We had this apparatus, a plow. And we called it a tiller, but it was a plow. It was gasoline operated. And it had these, the teeth, where it would basically churn and break up the ground. See, the ground had to be broken in order to plant something new. And especially when it's out there and it's like 100-something degrees outside and it's that red Georgia clay and it's been hardened. It's been hardened because it hadn't been worked on in some time. It's hard work. But the plow, you stay in that one spot and you just keep working. You keep working. You keep working. And some of you are sitting in church and God's like, I'm sending the Spirit every Sunday, Pastor King. I'm giving them the Word of God, Pastor King. But they just sit there with a heart of cement. They need to repent. Harden. Break up the fallow ground. God has put his hand on something in your life. And he's told you about it on more than one occasion. And you continue to make excuses. You continue to postpone your breakthrough. You want a breakthrough? Break up the fallow ground. He's told you what to do about that situation. But you align yourself in pride, and he got your hand on it, and it's starting to bother you so much that God has told you about these things. All of a sudden, here's when it gets dangerous. You can't hear him anymore because you're so callous. The worst thing that can happen is what we see in the book of Romans, chapter 1, where God says he turns you over to a reprobate mind. Please don't go there. How many times come to me that you might have life? How many times he says repent? How many times he's telling you, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me? How many times has God said, I died for you. I put my son on Calvary's cross. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day so you can have eternal life, and you reject it. I was in a church for many years where no one told me the good news of Jesus Christ. But boy, did we have some religion, and boy, could we shout and sing. But guess what? Nothing but fallow ground. There was no fruit of a changed life. And God is telling Israel, break up your fallow ground. Stop postponing this blessing in your life. If you don't, you will be reaping the judgment from God. Why are my finances always like this? And why are my relationships always fragmented? And why is it that I look at life with negative lenses and seems like I'm always the victim. Break up the fallow ground. Save you some money from going to that counselor. Break up the fallow ground. If you need to go to the council, just make sure that you're limiting that time. Break up the fallow ground. Sometimes when the word of God goes forward again, it has little effect. But am I supposed to quit? Even if only one or two come to Jesus, or nobody come to Jesus, or people don't believe. Pastor, are you supposed to quit? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's not my job. It's his job. I'm just a spokesman. I'm just be obedient till I see my reward. And I know what the Bible says. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. And I know some of you been praying for a spouse. Some of you been praying for parents. Some of you been praying. You just keep on, as we say, keep on keeping on. God will move. Since fallow ground is hard, it harbors resistance. See, Pastor, they don't change because they're still fighting. They're still resisting. They're still resisting. We call it grieving and quenching the spirit. God says, stop putting it off. Now it's time. Seeking the Lord. I like that part where you see in the text. It's time to seek the Lord. It reminds us of how when we break up the fallow ground, how does that start, Pastor? How does that start? Well, how do you know? What does that process look like when a person is saying, I got it. I want to break up this fallow ground, this hardness in my heart. Well, here's what you need to do. Make sure you make it a practice to stop putting people, places, and things before God in your life. Don't be placing people or things or places. I call it those negative nouns, neutralizing nouns. What are neutralizing nouns, Pastor? Well, these are practices. These are a person, there's a wife, there's a husband, there's children, there's a job and a supervisor, there's grandchildren. Yes, there are. God's supposed to be first on Sunday morning, but it's always somebody else on Sunday morning. It's always somebody else and something on Sunday morning. Oh, and any time to get engaged with spiritual things, it's always somebody else. Person, I couldn't do it because of this person. Place, I had plans to go hang out at this place. Things, well, I got to take care of my car. I got to take care of my clothes. I got to take care of this. All these things neutralize your effectiveness and your intimacy with Jesus Christ. If you think, I haven't heard from God lately, I'm not really close to the Lord. Do a personal inventory. Examine the things that are before him that has more influence in your life. Break up that fallow ground, church. Until the Church of Jesus Christ in America start to break up the fallow ground, that cannot be the kind of revival in America that God wants. And before we start talking about revival in America, we need to start with our own homes. So start in your own house. Start evaluating what's going on in your life. God needs your work here. Because here's the thing. If you don't break up these things, if you don't break up the fallow ground, then your effectiveness for the kingdom of God, can I be blunt? What use does God have of you? If you're not useful to God, what profit are you? I don't know about you. You want to be used by God? Say amen. Amen. I want to be used by God. Useful, productive by God. But if you got a hardened heart, God can't use you. Not only can God, he can't use you to change those lost family members, to change those lost co-workers, to put the church back where it's not impotent but filled with power. When you don't break up the fallow ground, you are helpless against the gates of hell. You're easy picking for the devil. You're easy. I don't have to. I didn't even break a sweat with that person, Pastor. They're so wrapped up in their things. Here's the bottom line. Everybody say idol. Whatever the idols are, they solidify. They harden a hardened heart. So let's break it up. Break it up. It's immediate. Take care of that. Now, God continues to talk about this planting principle about sowing and reaping. I need to speak to that for a moment. Sowing and reaping, this planting principle of sowing and reaping points to the fact that harvest indicates that there's going to be a season. How many of you guys know that seasons don't happen overnight? What's that, Pastor? Yeah, see, you spend a whole lifetime and living for the devil. You spend a whole lifetime or being a Christian, then there's been an extended period of time in your life where you walked in lawlessness. You've been planting of the flesh. God told you when you sow in the flesh, you sow corruption. God told you there's consequences, and that's going to be a harvest of what you planted. And you want mercy to come right now. Yes, God gives you the mercy to change. God gives you the mercy to rescue you, but the circumstances and the consequences, they don't always evaporate overnight. How many of you guys know that? But the goodness of God say, I help you endure. The goodness of God says, I give you the grace, because my grace is sufficient for you. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. There's some principles that's been taking place here. You got to keep pressing forward in faith, walking in faith and not by sight. So don't you quit. Harvest has come. And here's what I know. If I planted a seed of lawlessness, I know the harvest will come and it'll be a new day and a new rain and a new refreshing. But too many of us quit before the breakthrough comes through. Did you hear me? Because we took our eyes off God. Sometimes people expect to sow from sowing all this sin again. They want immediate reaping. But God says, no, it might take a little bit longer. I know what I'm doing. I'm God. Now, real quickly, as we wrap up our passage, wrap up our study, verses 13 through 15, in verses 13 through 15, God reminds Israel about the terrible results for resisting him. Look at verse 13. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. We have eaten the fruit of lies because, how? Why? Because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitude of the mighty men. Plowed in wickedness. What that is, I submit to you, pride will always propel you down a path of personal misfortune. Pride says, you don't have to tell me nothing. I know this. I got this. I'm educated. I'm sophisticated. I got life experience. I know this is right. I don't have time to hear what you got to say, Pastor. I got my mind made up. And sometimes you even want to bring God in on your lawlessness and say, I prayed about it, Pastor. Really, what I see is pride. You plowed in your own strength. Israel, you, because you trusted in your own way. Don't tell me how to raise my kids. I know what the Bible says. I will correct them my way. I will spend my money and correct my financial problems my way. I will deal with my personal relationships. I will do things my way. Now, all you can't sing like Frank Sinatra. What did he say? I did it what? How'd that work out for you, Frankie? Not too good. You don't do things your way, because here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end there are the ways of death. Like gravity, that doesn't change. You do things, you address your problems your way, there will be consequences. Israel, you plowing in wickedness, you in pride, and that's the case. That's the root of all rebellion. Did you know that? Pride. Oh, he just don't have any good self-esteem. Oh, he just didn't have the financial support and the education. Oh, you need to understand his climate. Oh, you don't know what happened in his life. And they list a whole litany of things to try to explain why the child or why the man or why the woman is participating in this. And God says, no, no, no. He was a rebel before he smoked that joint. He or she was a rebel before they abandoned their marital vows. They were a rebel before they did that activity. How you say that, Pastor? In the heart. The root cause, folks, is always the heart. I know you want to blame chemistry. I know you want to blame a whole other bunch of circumstances and situations. I understand, but the chemistry, all those are a byproduct of a deeper issue. And God says, the root of this rebellion, they trusted in their own way. I'm going to go to the doctor. Or I'm going to go to my friends. I'm going to solve my problems, my pain, my issues. Now, please, don't go and twist this message and say, Pastor says, eliminate all medication. Eliminate good count. No, what I'm saying that before you medicate, I always say, before you medicate, meditate. Call on God first. Is he not? What's his name again, church? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Is he not that? So why are we disqualifying his credentials? Instead of relying on the power of God, they relied on their own military. We'll take care of ourselves. We are Israel. We'll be fine. Don't worry. We got this, God. We don't need you right now. That's plowing in wickedness. That's pride. I don't know about you, but I need God for everything. I need God for answers. I need God for perspective. I need God for strength. I need God for understanding. I need God for physical protection, security, and because I definitely won't depend on the United States of America to protect me. Let me stay focused, so that's another message. When it comes down to your power, would you please do this pastor the favor? Whatever has the greatest scope of influence in your life, would you please compare the greatest influence to Almighty God, then draw a conclusion who you're going to listen to? Reevaluate your power source. Any power source that doesn't come from the Almighty moves you into impotence, and you'll never correct your problem. Reevaluate your power source. You got zero chances of changing your circumstances and situations without God. Because with Christ, I can do all things through. Verses 14 and 15, God's basically highlighting a historical battle. Most commentators and theologians debate on the date and location and the places of this. But what we do see in Scripture, that it had to happen because it's the Word of God. It's Hosea commenting about a battle that took place that Hosea and his contemporaries would be familiar with. That battle in Shalmon and Bathurbel. They are battles, they are fight, and the oppression and the consequences of that fight. Now, well, who are these places? Now, I'm gonna give you a couple of thoughts to think about, some information about Shalman and Bethar-Bel. These are places that have been identified. This guy Shalman was an Assyrian ruler. And sometime in the 9th century B.C., this Assyrian ruler engaged and invaded Israel and in correspondence with Hosea's prophecy. And then you have this Moabite king mentioned there, Bethel. That's that Moabite king mentioned in a tribute to the Assyrian king. So basically, this event took place. People debate about who it is. Current day, we're speaking about Transjordan. Jordan, in the Transjordan region over there in the Middle East. Modern day Arbela is the place, somewhere in the, Jordan. This is a location. We still fight about where it is. You get information out the Apocrypha. You can turn to the Book of Maccabees, a historical book, a historical Jewish book, and you can find out that these places in this battle took place. The bottom line is that the Word of God said there was a battle and there was a fight, and the king of Israel will also be cut off. The fall of the Israel king will signal the conquest of a nation. And his name is Nebuchadnezzar. After Nebuchadnezzar is on his way. And you know your Bible that Israel will be find themselves in captivity for 70 years. But it didn't have to be this way. Only thing they had to do was to respond to godly counsel.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, Sound Counsel to a Sinful Nation. In today's program, Pastor gave us a powerful call to repentance that begins with breaking up the fallow ground of our hearts. So how do you break up the fallow ground of your heart? You must make it a practice to stop putting people, places, and things over God in your life. Evaluate your power source. What has the greatest influence in your life? Any power source other than the Almighty moves you into impotence, and you will never correct your problem. You have zero chance of changing your circumstances without Jesus Christ. It is only through Christ that we can do all things. To learn more about a right relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for the next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support the work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon, encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.